Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome once again to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Elder Nation Elder Show. We're thankful to have you aboard with us. And for the next hour, we're just going to speak whatever Yah, whatever His Ruach put on our hearts. And let's introduce what we have here tonight. We have my partner in the faith, Elder Yael, and we also have myself, Elder Yaliah. And tonight we're going to be talking about, for Yah did not call us to uncleanness, but in set apartness. And that's taken from 1 Thessalonians 4:7. So, Elder, I'm in this hotel room. And let's see, what I have tonight is, you know how they put these Gideon Bibles. I got one of these Gideon Bibles here. So for 1 second, I'm glad in other words, I left my Bible at the house, but I got a Gideon Bible. So if people at home will just bear with me, I have this... up in no time. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
So this is taken from 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, for Yah hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Our set apartness, as you said. For Yah hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto set apartness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, that's taken from 1 Thessalonians 4:7. So, Elder, no further delay. I'll let you take it away.
All right, Todah, Todah, Elder, Todah for the introduction also, you know. It's good to be here. And we see a lot of things going on in this world now, especially at this time with coming up on the close of that 400-year prophecy. I mean, it's closing out on us as we speak, you know. And I know the children of Israel has gone through these similar type situations in the past, because when we look at Babylon and the 70-year that we were sentenced to, you know, go into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, you know, that 70 years finally creeped up and ended. You see, just like that 400 years now has finally crept up on us and it's ending. So we don't want this time to come up on us and be like a surprise or something. We're not ready to hear the word of Yah. You see, this is a very critical time that we really listen, tune in to His word, listen to what He's telling us and telling us to do, you know, because this is key, because this transition here that we're fixing to go through is serious, because if I look at what it tells me, I just want to take a real quick look at the book of Psalms, real quick, 137, verse 8 and 9. Listen what it says, because see, we know we are in the daughter of Babylon, okay? That first Babylon that we were in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, now we got this daughter that has sprung out from that, you see? And here we are, right here, in this captivity. But look what the scripture has to say about that. Look at 137, Psalms, verse 8 and 9. It says, O daughter of Babel, it is, who are to be destroyed. You hear that? Now, that's what the scripture says. Blessed is he who repays you your deed, what you did to us. You see? It ain't no joke. It wasn't hidden from the world about how this country, this government, has been towards the children of Israel. You see? It ain't no, I mean, this is a thing that actually real. This is some things that really is, I mean, in fact, it's still going on. verse 9 says, blessed is he who shall take and dash your little ones against the rock. You see? So these are the judgments that we're looking at that Yah is letting us know that it's already set, already been put in place for Babylon because of what she has done to us, you know? And people think that, well, I wasn't there back in that time. No, you're still there. You're still here. You're the descendant of those who carried out these crazy acts against the children of Israel. You are their descendants. Just like the children of Israel, us here are the descendants of those who turned against the laws of Yah that Moses gave us, and Moses warned us that this is what's going to happen to your seed, really, your descendants. These are the things. You're going to go into captivity on ships. You see, he told us that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68. That's what happened. Now, can we all of a sudden say, well, whatever our people did back there, I wasn't alive. It's not my fault. You see? But you see, Yah's just. He deals with us as a people, you see? And so this is what we see here coming up on Babylon right now. Right now. It's coming. It's you know, the doors, I mean, we could see the things that are taking place right now. For instance, now, Yah did not hide these things from us, the things that we have experienced from Babylon, from this government, okay? In Isaiah 47, verse 1, he tells us here, come down and sit in the dust, O maiden daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the cast down, for no more do they call you tender and delicate. Okay? Take the millstone and grind flour. Remove your veil. Lift up the skirt. Uncover the leg. Pass through rivers. Let your nakedness be uncovered. Let your shame also be exposed. Take vengeance and meet no man. So this is what Yah has let us see, that Babylon, whatever he does to her, I mean, you know, she deserves it. She deserves it, you see, because she have not, again, I think we mentioned this last week, she have already been judged, been weighted, found in the balance, found lacking, you see. So here it is. This is old Babylon. This is where we're at now. And that's why he's warning us, you know, about these things, even so much as to say, come out of her, flee from Babylon, you know. And so this is why we got to take heed to what Yah is saying to us. Figure out, pray to Yah, ask him to help us do whatever we have to be obedient to his word, you know, to be able to conform to his word. Because this is where we're at now. And so I was just going to look at a few things, a few scriptures now, because actually he gives us some instructions like we were going to talk about earlier, what we were discussing earlier. We want to look at some of the things that will put us in a better position, in the condition so that we can be qualified, okay, to be accepted into the place that Yahushua even said, I go to prepare a place in my Father's house are many mansions, you see? And so we got to make sure in order for us to be accepted in this place that Yahushua has gone to prepare for us, we got some conditions to meet, all right? For instance, let me just read this because I like this greeting here that I'm going to get from in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to look at verse 3. Favor to you and peace from Yah, our Father, and the Master, Yahushua Messiah. I thank my Yah always concerning you for the favor of Yah, which was given to you by the Messiah, Yahushua. you see? So Yah is showing us his love, his things that he's doing here on our behalf. And he goes on to say that in him you were enriched in all, in every word and all knowledge, as the witness of the Messiah was confirmed in you, you see, so that you are not lacking in any gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Master Yahushua Messiah, who shall also confirm you to the end unreprovable in the day of our Master Yahushua Messiah. You see? So when I read that, I said, okay, hallelujah. Look here. Look at the joy that is within this that we're looking at here. I can go on over to 1 Thessalonians now, over in chapter 4, verse 7. I want to just take that a little further because I know that's dealing with the title of our program here. And it says in verse 7, for Yah did not call us to uncleanness, okay? He did not call, but instead of partness. That's why, see, we have to talk about these things. Because of what we see, we are alive and our eyes are wide open. And we can see the things, the mistakes that we as a people, the Hebrew Israelites, we are doing that is not going to, that will hinder us from being able to enter, you know, this place that Yahushua says, I go to prepare for you, okay? In my Father's house are many mansions. You see? And so we got mentions. So we got to remember these things. So he goes on to say, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but Yah, who also gives us his set apart spirit. Okay? That's what I'm saying. You see that? You hear that, Elder? You see? And it
oh,
says,
yeah.
And
oh,
it is, you see? Yeah. And it is not necessary to write to you about brotherly love. For you yourselves are taught by Yah to love one another. You see? And so this is where we're at now. We want to make sure we can meet these conditions that Yah has laid down for us so that we are eligible to be called into this kingdom, into it. Okay? And let me read just a couple more verses here. In Romans chapter 6, I want to see what this tells us, okay? Because there's some very good recommendations. I want to put it that way, you know, in our time, in these last few minutes that we have in with this end of the 400 years. Now, you know, doesn't mean that the end of the 400 years is the end of the world, but it does mean we should, you know, we should pay close attention, take heed to these things that are written
right
here,
and,
you know?
And Elder, you know, that's what you just said. If I just may just cut into briefly, you said a mouthful there when you said that 400 years talking about our captivity does not mean the end of the age. And some people that I've heard online, some ministry groups, they have twisted the whole thing together, and therefore they say, well, the 400 years, this 400 year is insignificant because, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. And people have rightfully so tried to point out to them, no, you're mixing two different events, two different major events together, and you're trying to meld them together like they're one. But these people in this ministry group, again, you know, I don't like to say, call out names, they continued on like they didn't even hear, you know, husband and wife ministry. They just blended the two together, and therefore they were trying to tell people, oh, don't get too caught up in the 400 years of the world. There's a lot of stuff got to happen before the world ends. People said, what are you talking about? We're talking about the 400-year captivity, our emancipation.
That's right.
We're not talking about the second coming, you know, of Yahushua. But I just wanted to say that because it's dangerous. That's why we were trying to stress to our listeners. Take a hiatus from these online ministries sometime. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You say, what about your ministry? If Yah leads you to take a break from ours, listen to Yah. Take a break, because we're not Yah. Yah will have other people to listen to us. He'll have the people to listen to us who he will to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's
so
right.
So we're just supposed to be a supplement anyway. We're not supposed to be, we're not going to get you into the kingdom. That's what I'm saying. You know, you got to work out your own salvation. But some people overdose, man. They choke on it. They choke on these online ministries, and you could tell it's just like a rock star rooting section. Time after you hear their message, just look in the comments section. All you hear is praise of the speakers. You don't hear no praise of Yah too much. Praise of the speaker. Oh, whoa, you fantastic message. Oh, you did so great, elder or sister. Oh, it's sickening. You know, you got to keep your eyes on Yah. You got to keep your eyes on our Mashiach, the author and the finisher. He's the one going to bring you in, the author and finisher
right.
of our faith. So I'm sorry, Elder, go ahead.
Yeah.
But you that just triggered something in me when you said, you know, we're not talking about the second coming of Yahweh. We're not talking about the end of the age. We're talking about our 400 year
that's
captivity.
Right.
It's almost
right.
up.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
Yeah, because this is so important to us, because, you know, you guys keep telling us this place here, this Babylon that we're sitting in, he's giving us all kind of warnings, you know, come out of her, my people. When he say my people, you know, he's speaking directly to us, you see.
That's right. Then
he's going to tell us flat out in his word that she is, this Babylon is going to be destroyed. You see, now, if Yah is saying this, I don't need to hear nobody else explain anything to me, because this is what Yah is saying, okay? And
that's
if
right.
he is saying it, it's right. It's what's going to happen. Now, you can sit there and explain yourself away in it with a bunch of good excuses for you, and you go right ahead. But, you know, I see now the more and the closer we come to this, it's important to me that I listen to y'all, make sure I try to hear everything he is saying so I don't miss nothing, you see, because we got so many people who've already told us only a remnant, you know, a remnant going to be saved. So don't you want to be part of that remnant, you know? I mean, that's what we got to strive to be in that number, in that company of people. And the thing is, with this situation now, we got to realize also that Satan has doubled his effort to bring you down. I mean, he don't want you to make it into that kingdom. Okay, now Satan is doing it. But the good thing about this, though, Yah himself is right there with us. He said, I will be in your midst. That's why Yahushua said, I will be with you even till the end of the ages. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will be with you in your midst. So if he's here, he ain't missing nothing that Satan is trying to do to us. And he is not missing anything that we are allowing ourselves to do by yielding to Satan. You see? So we got to think about it. Wake up and be strong. We just make up in our mind. You see, like Paul said, pray always without ceasing. You know, just keep praying. Because, you know, we make mistakes. That's just a regular man. We make mistakes, you see. But, boy, we got to make sure we can try to pray, help y'all to help us to overcome these things, that especially those things that has become habitual to us, you see. And we gotta be able to break loose from those things, you see, and become the person that Yah intends for us to be, you know?
Oh.
So this is what I'm saying. Yeah. So let us please come on and forget all of that pride stuff. Yeah. Because that's what goes before a man before he falls. Pride. influence before you fall. So you got to get rid of that, okay? And be meek and be humble. You see, be humble, and then let Yah lift us up. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, it says here, "I speak as a man because of the weakness of your flesh. For even as you did present your members as servants of uncleanness and of lawlessness, resulting in lawlessness, so now present your members as servants of righteousness, resulting in set apartness." Okay? So that's what he's telling us. We realize, and a lot of us already understand, we know how we used to live, the things that we used to do out there, you know, before we came to know Yah and Yahushua, you see? And hallelujah, that Yahushua was there to the door open for us to, you know, accept us on in, you see? Because it says, "For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit, therefore, were you having then, over which you are now ashamed?" I mean, see, this thing is written so clear, and it's so true. Because, like I said, we are awakened now, and we see this written, and we know. We know ourselves, and we see that this is just truth about our own selves. You know, "For the end thereof is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become servants of Yah, you have your fruit resulting in set apartness and the end everlasting life." Have mercy. You know, that's good news. That's good news. "Because for the wages of sin is death, but the favorable gift of Yah is everlasting life in Messiah Yahushua, our Master." Tell me, that is right on. You see? That is something we need to know. And we need to understand how beautiful that is, number one, and understand how true it is. I can't walk around here and look at myself after reading that and tell myself, "Oh, I'm okay. I've been a good guy all the time, all my life. I've been good," you know? So we got to, you know, wake up and know that Yah has everything already. He's already seen his people. He's already known exactly what we have gone through, and he knows what we're going to still have to go through. You see, he said he will be with us even in the fire. He will be with us even in the war through the waters. You see, he will be with us. You see, and so even through this tribulation that we see coming up on this earth, hey, you know, Yah is there. We just got to trust him and make sure we continually to stay in touch with him. Continually through our prayers, speak with Yah, beg and ask him for guidance, for strength, you know. Because I'm going to tell you, I just want to look at these little few things here, because we've seen it. We know, again, that the end of the 400 years is coming up. And when we look back on the time when we were in the captivity of the Egyptians during the time, we know plagues just before we were delivered out of there. So Yah sent plagues through there, you know. And so those of us who accepted the commands of Moses that Yah gave him, the instructions how to for us to resist, to abstain or survive through those plagues, you know, he told us. So let's put the blood up on the doorpost of our dwellings, and the death angel will just go right on about us and spare our lives, the lives of our firstborns. You know, that's what happened, you see? And so now we're going to have to hide ourselves in Yah, okay, and accept the blood of Yahushua, okay? So I hear so many people out there, you know, I got the blood of Jesus all on my hands, so I'm good. I'm sick. Oh, man. You see, that's a mistake, too. You see, to think you got to grab some false deity, and when Yahweh in his word is telling us, don't make no even mention of the names of any of those mighty ones out there. You know, don't even make any mention of the name of them. See, and so how are we going to grab something else that is not Yah or Yahushua and think we can hide behind that and be safe? No, we cannot. You see, we just can't. You see, because look at what's happening. Storms. I'm going to read this here. Storms leave trail of debris and waterlogged city. You know, a tornado killed at least 3 people in southwestern Missouri, while another caused extensive damage in Jefferson City, Missouri. You see, and if you've been listening, watching the news and listening to it, you understand what I'm saying here, because it tells us here, that was just this week, Wednesday. I mean, last week, Wednesday. Jay Barnwell, a retired officer with the Army National Guard, said he awoke to alerts on his phone and the sound of whipping wind. When he rolled out of the bed to look outside, the glass in his bedroom window burst with an awful sound, and the wind sucked his bedroom door closed. You see? And he said, I was basically in a room of swirling glass. You see? And all the National Weather Services said it was investigating 34 reports of tornadoes across Oklahoma and Missouri on Wednesday, spawned as severe storms moved northeast from Texas along a virtually straight diagonal line into western Illinois. Can you imagine that? That was a powerful storm just last week, you see? On Thursday afternoon, as the storm system moved east, the service issued a tornado warning for the Washington area, including suburbs in Virginia and Maryland, advising residents to stay inside and away from windows. You see, these things are starting to be more and more severe as we speak. Like now, we don't know what's going to be out there going on in this weather just tomorrow or next week. You see what I mean? So this is what I'm saying. We have to remember Yah and stay in tune with Him, continually to trust Him for our protection, for our life. Because if we don't, you don't know what's next, what's coming up, what could be the next day that you wake up. Okay? So, these are things that we see going on out there that is happening, and this ain't nothing, said no secret that we're coming to you with. This is just if you awaken at all and listening to the news at all, you see that this is what's going on. Now, isn't this, you know, this should be something enough to get your attention, you know, because it ain't nothing, no joke. It ain't no joke. I mean, because, look, it said 3 people were killed in Golden City. At least 3 people were killed by a tornado in Golden City, Missouri, which is about a 2-hour drive southeast of the Kansas City area. The victims included Kenneth G. Harris, 86 years old, Opal P. Harris, 83, who were found 200 yards from their home, according to Sergeant John Luce Kentoff, a spokesman for the Missouri State Highway Patrol. The wood frame home was completely demolished, and he said it was unclear whether the couple were inside when the tornado struck or had attempted to flee as it approached. You see what I mean? So these tornadoes come through, and they're coming through with this like all power. I mean, they just taking down anything that is. So this is what I'm saying. These things that we need to take heed and, don't take it lightly because of what time we're living in. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's why Yah says, come out of her, my people, come out of this false system of worship, come out of it. Well, it just simply reads in Revelation, come out of Babylon, you see. And so this is what we got to just consider, think about it, and pray, ask Yah to lead us here, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elder, if you got something you want to hone in on, go ahead.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, Elder, thank you so much. I was just hanging on to the, you know, the words that you were saying there and following along with you. And I said, I better get back to the few little notes I had here. As we get close to our spiritual emancipation, you know, Abraham said way back in Genesis that his descendants are going to be a stranger in a strange land. 400 years they'll be afflicted. 400 years they will be afflicted. I'm sorry, so-called Bible scholars. We were not afflicted. We were not, we did not have hard bondage for 400 years. And we were not persecuted for 400 years in the first Egypt, the Egypt that's on the African landmass. There's no way any Bible scholar could twist and try to piecemeal together the bondage, the affliction in the land of Egypt, the physical land of Egypt, for 400 years. By conservative estimates, it wasn't even 200 years. And by the most liberal estimate, put it at 210 years. And they said that you can't even basically stretch it to 200 years. You could do your own timeline. You can. I like the book of Jasher. Book of Jasher said what was it? The children of Egypt was served in bondage in Egypt for the children of Israel served in bondage in Egypt. I believe it says what did it say? 210 years, Elder. The book of Jasher.
Yes, just, I believe so.
I like Jasher. It just point blank said it. So, and also the Septuagint puts it in Exodus 12, where it says the children of Israel sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. It wasn't the 400 years in Egypt. Egypt and Canaan. You know, that's the big deception. Egypt and Canaan. Talking about that whole time, going back to Abraham, Egypt and Canaan. Okay, so it is so much. So what we're getting back, our time of emancipation, you know what we're in now? We're in the, you know, if you ran the relays or if you ran track, you know right now we're in a stretch run. That's where we look at it. If you're looking for analogies, we're in a stretch run right now. We're in the last mile. And I'm saying this to encourage our brothers and sisters to hang on because, like you said, Satan doesn't want anybody to make it in. I mean, he's wearing us out. He's wearing me. He's wearing us out. I mean, he says he'll in the book of Daniel, he'll wear out I know it says saints in King James Version. He'll wear out the called out ones. He'll wear us out.
That's right.
We're in the 11th hour. So we got to hang on. We got to encourage. So Yah's given us tools. He's given us T-O-O-L-S, tools, to assist us. Because he knew as the time draw near, that's when it's going to be the hardest for some of us. Some of us, the enemy is going to try to attack us financially. That's what he uses a lot in this world. Now, there's other things that use. Sometimes he try to attack your body, physical health. Sometimes it can't get to you. He works through your children. You know, that they're going up while, you know, or get you into some kind of legal trouble, you know, career trouble. I mean, where you think you're secure on these jobs out here. And next thing you know, company is going under or they had a merger sellout and they're laying people off. I mean, all kind of things. But we got to hold on. Another thing, you could get discouraged. You could see a lot of people that you thought were on the up and up in this walk, you thought they were on a straight road and you found out that their walk wasn't straight. And then you find out this other brother and this other sister walk wasn't straight. You know, they're getting caught up in mess. Scandals coming
That's
out
right.
on them. So you say, my goodness, nobody, you know, Sam, when I first came into this truth, you know, it just seemed like it was just such a thing of beauty. You know, it felt like I was in paradise. But now it seems like I can't find nobody to walk with. You know, and plus the devil's persecuting me. You know, so what do I do? You know, you feel like giving in. Some of you, I mean, I hope you haven't come this far, but some of you even considered, you say, my goodness, when I was in Christianity, when I was in the church, it wasn't this bad. Maybe I should give that another look. Oh, y'all forbid. Please don't return to your vomit.
Yeah, I had a friend that did that.
Yes, I've seen some people, well, at least their spouse went back to the church. What do y'all say? That's like a dog returning back to his vomit. How could
That's
you
right.
know the truth and then try to shut the truth off and go back into deception? I mean, how could you do that? They say with a straight face. How could you do that with a clean conscience? I mean, your
That's
conscience
right.
would tear you up. So Yah has given us some tools that's going to help us get to this finish line. I'm going to read this one little piece of scripture, and it's going to set the tone for it. It says, this is taken out of Acts, second chapter, verse 46. Listen carefully. It says, and they continuing daily, those are the believers, they continuing daily with one accord in the assembly, being assembled together, and breaking bread. Listen to this. Don't miss this. Breaking bread from house to house. Bread from house to house. It's a did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Yah. And having favor with all the people. Why did I read those scriptures out of Acts, the second chapter, verses 46, 47? Because that sets the foundation. Yah
That's right.
wants to see you cross that finish line, and he's giving you this powerful tool. What is it called? Fellowship. You say, well, wait, I did that before. I found out a lot of them people were devils I was fellowship with. Well, you got to tighten up on it. You got to follow all the instructions, not just fellowship with anybody. See, that's what we were doing. We were so happy to be in this truth. All somebody had to say was, yeah, and we thought we were supposed to walk with them. No. It takes more scrutiny. It takes more discernment than that. Okay? Let's go into this a little bit. So let's go with the discernment. And all of it's going to be in Yah's word. I'm going to start off with, let me just knock this out the way. Why do you need fellowship? Look with 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read one little part of that scripture. First Thessalonians 4:18. He says, Wherefore comfort one another.
That's
you
right.
You know, these are trying times. It's good that Yah's spirit comforts us, but he gives us each other. True believers. I'm not talking about the phone. That's why we're going to distinguish between the good and the bad fellowship. So he says, just look at this as the good side. He says, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another. Okay? So that these are the reasons for fellowship. Okay, so let's start at the root because we got to dissect this. Now, I know a lot of people are so, when you walked according to the world dictates, you were a very sociable person. You like to go out. You like to mingle and everything. And y'all just put that spirit in you. And a lot of us get really uptight, you know, after we come into this truth, if we're not fellowshipping with other believers, you know, on a consistent basis. And we get really fidgety in our spirit and disturbed, you know. So it messes with our walk. It messes with our peace with Yah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it messes with your peace, it's going to mess with your witness. How can you witness to someone else and you're all disturbed in your spirit? So Yah wants you at peace. Okay, so let's go to we're gonna fellowship. We're gonna do it the right way. Let's start with let's go back to the old. We got the new. We got to go back to the old. What they call the Old Testament. In Amos chapter 3, after that great scripture in verse 2 where it tells us we, Israel in the flesh, we are the only ones he have known, he says, right, out of all the families in the earth. Now, that's not the scripture that I'm pointing you towards, but I'm saying it's right after that great scripture. Look what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? Now, I'm going to give you instructions for one of the great tools that Yah give us that's going to get us over this hump, that's going to get us across this finish line. We need to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it says comfort one another, but you got to do it the right way. And here it is. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a question, right? Okay, that's an important question. Because if you're not in agreement, you have no business trying to walk together. If you're not in agreement, you have no business trying to fellowship together. Yah doesn't call everybody to together. He has, look, what some people, what works for them, you know, as far as who's compatible to them, they might not be compatible to you. Yah has people who are compatible to you. Why do you think I read that first scripture? Remember, what did we do when we were in Christianity? We were in these big churches. Now I know some of you went to a small church, but even then, you were with a group of at least 10, 20, 30, 40 people, maybe 100 people. You know, and out of that, you have some people, some spirits that were contrary one to another. Yah wants to reduce that. That's why we read those small groups in Acts. See, it started off when Yahushua was taken away. It started off the right way. It started small. That's when, don't think small is bad. When it was small, that's when they had. That's when they showed the most power. That's when the believers had the most power. That's why it says, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the believers. We're supposed to fight to get that faith back. And that was the faith that was built up among the small group of believers. So what are we saying?
Mm-hmm.
We got to come back to the basics. Come back to small groups. We call them small cell groups. You can refer to them as small cell groups or small groups. Don't try to remake the church. Don't try to make this awakening, this truth. Don't try to remake it into the church image, the modern day church. You know, you got to be a big building. You got to come with a lot of people sitting together. You have all these spirits. You have devils in the front row. You got homosexual spirits in the third row. You got killers in the fifth row. I mean, y'all never meant you to have all that together. He said you can't walk together unless you be in agreement. How do you think the great explosion on the day of Pentecost took place? You want to know the main reason it did? The main reason it did because it says they were all in one place and they were all in one accord. They were like-minded. They were like-minded. You got to be with like-minded believers. Look, I'm going to prove it. If you don't believe it, you got to be a like-minded believer. Okay, so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, and this scripture is a little funny because I'm laughing a little bit because a lot of people, you know, when I was in church, I know a lot of Christians, you know, they took this just for. When it comes to dating or marriage, you know, no, it don't just come from dating. Mm-hmm. It comes from the same root meaning, the same instructional analysis that the scripture in Amos 3:3 came from. where it says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? This is the same principle. Okay? So don't just think this is for a wedding. This is also for your walk together with your fellow brother and sister. And yeah. Okay, so Bible said, how do you know them? You know them by food. It said, try the spirit. So you got to give it a litmus test. And here it is right here. In 1 Corinthians, excuse me, let's see, what is this here? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Okay, we're going to see if two can walk together. Let's be agreed. Here's instructions for your fellowship, believers. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together. Don't be assembled together. Okay, you see that? Don't fellowship together. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me just give you one example. Okay, you got a group of people. I'm going to show you how this scripture applies to fellowship and not just marriage. Okay. You got a group of believers at a place, and it's the Shabbat, and you know, you're excited. You love being around Yah's people. Okay, so everybody's saying they believe in Yah there, right? It's probably 10 of you, 15, 20 of you, and you're happy. Mm-hmm. You've been looking forward to fellowship. So here we go with, you know, somebody might say a prayer, and they sing a song. We're going to get into that too. Yah, we got steps. We got certain instructional steps for fellowship, and we're going to go through that. But here you are, let's say it's 15, 20 of you. One, you know, opening prayer, then another, you know, sing a song. And then, you know, one might say, you know, I got the scripture. I want to share the scripture and share what it means to me. Okay, so brothers, now, you know, everybody take it for granted. You know, we're all here under the name of Yah. And this brother gets up here, and he say, praise Yah, you know, and all that, hallelujah, you know, getting everybody excited, even you excited. He's saying hallelujah. And then he start, he proceed to say that Joseph and Mary got together, and they did the wild thing, and they had, they had the baby Yahshua. And he said, we got to get out of that believing that this was some spooky supernatural thing, that some cloud came over Miriam and everything, and that this was, she was a virgin, she was never touched. Yeah, she was touched. That's how that's how children get here. The man and woman got together, and he's emphatic on this. You see, so. Here he is trying to convince you, this man who's saying hallelujah, is trying to convince you that the virgin birth was all one big misunderstanding and misinterpretation by the church. And here you are, if you still believe in that, you're just a Christian still. You see what that could do to some young believer's spirit? And then another brother gets up and says, I see what you're saying, brother, but let me say what I want to say today. Okay, and he started getting his scripture and reading, and he starts saying that David will be our king, and you know, and he's our only king, and this this, so there's no way that this New Testament, what we call New Testament, is valid. That, matter of fact, this is a heretic book. This whole New Testament, and we shouldn't even be reading it. It's demonic. You know, David's our king. It ain't no such thing as a person, Jesus or Yahshua. And now we got the house full of confusion. And this brother said he believe in Yah too, right? So what you going to do? You know you believe in Yah. You believe in the Most High. One brother trying to tell you don't, you know, that there's no virgin birth. Then another brother trying to tell you that the whole New Testament is false, you know? That Yahshua is not our king. We waiting for the physical return of David, who was a murderer and a killer and adulterer. I mean, I believe Yah forgave him, but I'm saying he wasn't no perfect man. So here we waiting for somebody like David. David supposed to redeem us from our sin, right? His blood, David's blood cleansed us. You know, matter of fact, in one of the scriptures, David was disqualified something because the prophet said, you got blood on your hands. David had too much blood on his hands. But this is supposed to be the man who's going to redeem us. You see what kind of demonic confusion if you don't follow Yah's instructions to the T? If fellowship is a beautiful thing, right? It's a beautiful thing. And it's one of those things, the tools Yah gave us, that's going to comfort us, like in 1 Thessalonians. It's going to get us across the finish line in peace and comfort. It strengthens you. You don't supposed to be without it. I'm going to show you that, too, in Hebrew. But if you do it wrong, it could be the best thing. But if you do it wrong, it could be, turn out to be one of the worst things you do. That's just like marrying the wrong person. If you marry the right person, it could be one of the best things in the world for you. But if you marry the wrong person, it could be one of the worst things in the world for you. So you can't take fellowship like we have to do it right. And since we're in the 11th hour, you know, me and Elder know we're in this countdown. You got to do it right because the devil is going to try to trick people up. He's going to try to trick you up. So listen to the scripture. It says, be ye not unequally yoked. Remember the day of Pentecost. If you get confused, just go back to the day of Pentecost. See what was the main ingredient that brought all that power down. It says they were in one accord, one mind. You want like-minded believers. That's what you're looking for. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I mean, people that don't believe the scripture. Even though they're saying Yah, they really don't believe the scripture. You got these guys, some of these camp guys, they don't even believe in the virgin birth of Yahshua. It's weird. So they believe, I'm so confused. They could believe Yah made the heavens and the earth, made all the rocks we see, all the things that's swimming and moving in the sea, made us, made the sun, the sky, all the celestial bodies. But they don't believe that Yah can overshadow a woman and bring forth a child from a woman. How do they believe Adam got here? This is mind-boggling. Adam didn't have two parents hooking up, getting busy, and conceive. They can believe Adam, but they can't believe Miriam. Okay, it just gets too foolish. But trust me, there's a lot of these people out here. I'm not making this up. So it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, listen, look at the example it gives. For what fellowship hath righteousness? If you're following after righteousness, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Mashiach with Belial, the chief of demons? Or what part hath he that believeth, that you're trying to believe the word, with an infidel? Somebody who's trying to distort the word or discredit the word. It says, and what agreement hath the assembly of Yah with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Yah. As Yah hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their mighty one, and they shall be my people. So, and this goes forward, wherefore, come out and be separate. Come out from false so-called believers. Remember, two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. So let me go on rapid fire just to give these foundational scriptures so you could have something to stand on. How important is fellowship? Let's do that real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, let's start at 24. No, let's start at 23. I'm sorry. Okay. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. See, I want you to stay strong, unyielding. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Even though you hear these weird doctrines, what is a weird doctrine? Outside of the word, okay? Because you're going to have people try to twist it to their meaning. So you hang on to what the Ruach gives you in this word. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's what you get out of fellowship, too. You provoke one another to love and good works. See, a lot of beautiful fruits. That's some of the fruits. A lot of beautiful fruits come when you fellowship with righteous believers, like-minded believers. Now, I'm not talking about when you get deceived and you get into some crazy group, but when you have the right type of fellowship, like they had on the day of Pentecost, keep it small. Keep it in these small groups. Pray fast. Yah will bring you with like-minded believers. It says you could provoke each other unto love and to good works. Hallelujah. And now, look at here, heart partners fellowship, verse 25 in Hebrews 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, right? As the manner of some is. Some people just say, no, I could do this on my own. No, he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It says, because here's what you do when you come together. He said, don't forsake it. It says, but exhorting one another. We have to exhort, encourage one another, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day, as you see our time, our emancipation approach, as you see the day approaching. You see? So it is very important. It's important because it provokes us to love and to good work. And we need to exhort one another. We need to encourage, edify, strengthen one another. So it's very important. Fellowship is very important. It should not be taken lightly. So what should we do when we fellowship? Here's some instructions. So, you know, just like I don't know if any of you ever been to physical therapy, but I have. I had a stiff neck. They call it pinched nerve, and I had to work my way through it. So they sent me to rehab, physical therapy. I mean, not rehab, physical therapy. And so what they do when you go there once a week, or did I go twice a week? Yeah, I think I went twice a week. Then they give you, they work you out in certain sections of your body. To try to relax the muscle and strengthen that area around it. And you do it there at their facility, and then they give you something to take home, and you're supposed to do those exercises too. See, so, and at the end, the end result, you hope the end result to be that you actually fix that area that was a problem or cured. Okay, so fellowship brings us into perfection, brings us into oneness with the will of Yah. We don't forsake our one-on-one time with Yah. We don't do that because, like you said, Elder, pray without ceasing. I heard you said that earlier. So we all have our one-on-one, but Yah wants us to fellowship. Why do you think 12 people were walking around with Yehoshua all the time? He didn't always be by himself. See? So he knows it strengthens us. Okay, so, but there are some instructions. And let's see. Okay, I got it now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And, you know, when the doctor say, do this, take this three times a day. One before when you wake up, one before you go to bed, and you know, other one with your meal at lunch. Entire week, take it all. So you follow those instructions, and you're supposed to get well, right? So here's some instructions. Here, 1 Corinthians. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about a powerful tool. What are two? Another tool is fasting, right? Fasting is a powerful tool. Another is prayer, right? And so don't forsake fellowship. Don't belittle fellowship. Don't devalue fellowship. It's another powerful tool. Hallelujah. So fellowship, 1 Corinthians, but you got to do it right. It could be the best of things or the worst of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we start at verse 26. Okay. So I'm reading now. And this time has gone away from. How is it then, brethren and sisters, when you come together? Hebrews chapter 10 say, don't forsake coming together. Don't forsake the fellowship. So since you're not supposed to forsake it, How should we do it? We know we got to be with like-minded believers because we know two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. We know y'all don't want us to be unequally yoked. He don't mm-hmm. want somebody talking about there is no virgin birth or somebody talking about the New Testament is fabricated. No. Everybody say Yah is not who we're supposed to fellowship with. So here's what you do. It says when you come together, now that let's say you've done the screening already. You're not out with these crazy folks. You've already let the Ruach, you've already sought Yah in prayer and you let the Ruach screen out the wheat from the chaff. So you're already with like-minded believers. It could just be three of you. It could just be four of you, five. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. Remember, they went from house to house. These were small groups. You don't have to go out and try to put your money together and rent no building, or, you know, and tell the whole world to come in. No, these small mm-hmm. groups. That's going to be the order of the day now, to support one another spiritually, emotionally, and even if it comes to a brother and sister have a need. You guys could help each other out. That's what they did in the mm-hmm. early assemblies in Acts. They helped each other mm-hmm. out. One could have a child that's buck wild. You guys come together and pray. You could pray that spirit out. So say when you come together, every one of you have a psalm. When you come together, you what was a psalm back then? It was a hymn. If you have a psalm. Mm-hmm. Sing to Yah. It's a beautiful thing. Don't think just because the church did it. You don't toss out everything. You know, there were some things that they had right. Okay? There's nothing wrong with singing. Nothing wrong with praising Yah. You know, make a joyful noise unto Yah. You know? So don't look at church and say, man, I'm going to throw everything out. So you throw the baby out with the bathwater. No. Use wisdom. So come together, sing praises to Yah. Maybe it's just two or three of you, sing praises to Yah. You get together on a Shabbat or whatever day you assemble and have a doctrine. You have an instruction. You might want to read a word. You say, Yah has given me this. I just want to share this with you believers. One person or a couple may read a passage of scripture and explain, you know, this doctrine. Or they might want clarification. So they read it. And they put it out to the assembly, and what the Ruach would do, would prayerfully, is bring in the clear interpretation of that passage of scripture. Okay, so have a doctrine, have a tongue. Okay, now I know this could get controversial with some, not with me. You know, this same book of Corinthians, we're in the 14th chapter, talks about the spiritual gifts. One of them were tongues. What the church had it mm-hmm. wrong, the church was doing it out of order. They were just babbling. See, and Shaul's going to say, if you move forward in that gift, it's supposed to be in order. Okay, and that's written down in the scripture. Okay, have an interpretation. Okay, it could be interpretation of prophecy. It could be an interpretation as one of the gifts here in the 14th chapter, interpretation of tongues. That's one of the gifts. It says, hath a revelation. One brother just excited, our sister. You know, Yah gave them a revelation of this scripture. Let's just say they came out and they said, man, I read this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, and man, it's like I read it for the first time. I want y'all to listen to this. This is what the Ruach told me it meant to me. Okay? So see how much beauty you could get out of this fellowship? And he says it's going to be done in order. That's why I'm going to keep reading. It says where was I at here? I'm sorry. Here we go. Have the revelation. Have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. See, that knocks out the confusion. Okay, so this doesn't go. I know my wife told me one time when she went to one of these Hebrew fellowships. This is way back. This almost when we first came into this walk. And you know how you were excited when you first come into this walk. We should still be excited, but you know, when you first came, you were ignorantly excited. You were just, anybody said, yeah, you off and running to, you know, but you came to one of these groups, the times you got in there. Man, the women just start everybody just start going off speaking in tongues. You know, one of these Hebrew gatherings, and I think even the lady who invited her, who took her there, and she said that it just from there just got worse. All kind of things. You know, it was it was a African guy there, and he didn't know if he was Hebrew or not. It was a white guy there who thought he was an Israelite. It was like chaos. So, and the person who was supposed to facilitate this, it was at his house. He was supposed to be, he called himself a, you know, everybody had titles back then. He called himself a moré, a teacher. And I don't know what he was teaching, man. He was teaching confusion. You know, that he never went back. And she tried to pull me out there that day. The son was telling me, don't go. I didn't go. I stayed in bed. that was one time I was glad I stayed in bed. It was confusion. And, you know, I was sad that happened to her, but I was kind of happy underhanded because she was the type of social people. She just loved being out. This experience taught her she got to put the brakes on things. She got to use more scrutiny, you know, more discernment. And she did. She did. She just started just running out every Shabbat, just looking for fellowship. Anybody that said, yeah, you know, no, you can't do that. And it says, let all things be done unto edifying. And that was not edifying. Okay? Now, three more scriptures. If any man, going down the line, I'm again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, now I'm in verse 27. He's going to explain what the main scripture was, where he says, when you come together, you know, if you have a hymn, a song, a doctrine, a revelation, everything. He's going to explain it in detail. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. And this here is, like I said, this is not controversial to me, but I know it is to some of you because, you know, a lot of us came out the church, and then in the church you had different denominations. So if you was, you know, the Pentecostal, or I know even some Baptist churches who so-called, they say the Holy Ghost Baptist Church, whatever they call, you know, this might not be different from you. But if you was at one of the churches like the Methodist, Episcopalian, and, you know, didn't believe in any of the moving of the Spirit, you know, this might be foreign to you. So we got to forget all that. We're all brothers and sisters. We got to reread and redo this under the truth of Yah. Forget all the training we had in Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and everything. Come on, this, you got to take this in its newness. See, just like we're in a reawakening, his word is being reawakened to us. See, because we read some of these same scriptures. Some of us have read Deuteronomy 28, you know, 100 times when we was in church, and then when we came into this awakening, it was like we were reading it for the first time. Okay, so the same thing here. You know, this, we're reading this for the first time now. So forget, well, my church didn't speak in tongues. My church did. Well, my church didn't prophesy. Well, my church did. My church didn't do this or that. Now, forget all that. Let the Ruach give this to you for the first time again, okay? Let it be a newness. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by, of course. That, of course, means one after the other. And say, and let one interpret. So if you don't, so what they're saying, if you don't have an interpreter, then nobody should be speaking in any tongue, any unknown tongue. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the assembly, and let him speak to himself and to Yah. Here's the prophet. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Let the other listen. Let the other consider what is said. And say, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. See how everything's in order? People are not speaking all at the same time. Things are being weighed and considered. It says, for ye may all prophesy one by one. And prophecy, this is the two definitions of prophecy. One is just proclaiming Yah's word, you know, when he say your sons and daughters prophesy. And the other one is foretelling, okay, prophesying, you know, foretelling. It says we all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. It says, and the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. So that's what separates it from a lot of this church stuff. A lot of church, they act like when the spirit came over you, you just lost control. No, that's a lie, because they say the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. You can still be in control. You don't have to run around, swing all over the place, roll under the chairs, and, you know, act scary. You're in control. So it says the spirits of the prophet, they're still subject. The spirit of prophecy is still subject to that prophet. He can shut it down. You know, he could be disobedient. And Yah may really, you know, chastise him for that. But he could try to shut it down. Look what Jonah did. It cost him a great deal. You know, Yah had a word for him, and he tried to run from it. So, but Yah got that word across at the end, whether he was going to use Jonah or even if he had to use somebody else. That word was going to be delivered. It says, for Yah is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the assemblies of the believers. Okay, so we'll stop there, but here's what I want to encourage. I want to encourage you to read. These are things that's not just to be read over the air like we're doing now. These are things that you take individually, and even when you get together in assembly, and you take it and study and you break it down, because this is a blueprint. This is a template of how you can have a successful small assembly, the same type of assemblies they were having in Acts chapter 2. And we know the power that arose from those assemblies, right? So,
hallelujah.
Get together, and even before you get together, by yourself, break it down, see what these mean. You could read this, I'm not saying it's a perfect Bible, but it does expound on it a little better. If you read all these scriptures I read in the Amplified Version, now, of course, if you want to just break everything down, do the word study, you want to do your divines, expository, you know, the strong concordance, do that. Do your due diligence. But whatever you do, break it all down. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting at verse 26. That's your blueprint. That's your template. Verse 26 all the way down to verse 33. That's a perfect template for small groups, for a small cell fellowship.
All right.
And trust me, you would see how beautiful that would be. You've got to be with like-minded believers. There's certain principles you just got to know off the top of your head. You've got to be with like-minded believers. You can't walk in agreement. You can't be in assembly with people you don't agree with. People who have a different spirit, a different mindset, a different doctrine. So Yah says they were all, his word says they were all in one accord, one assembly and one accord. That means they were all in agreement. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. So take that for what it's worth, and because this powerful tool, fellowship, don't belittle it, because this may be the one thing that gets you over the hump, because Satan is just unleashed. He's taking the reins off. He's coming at you full force. Like I say, whether it's through jobs, through marriages, through finances, even through health, whatever avenue he could come through, he's going to come. And you're going to need the comfort and support and the edification of fellow like-minded believers. But you can't get caught up and get emotional and just think any believers is going to be the correct group for you. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. That's why Yah left those instructions and those warnings in his word. You got to be with like-minded believers. It says, do not be unequally yoked together. Do not be unequally yoked together, even in as it pertains to fellowship. But if you are equally yoked together, it can be a beautiful experience, a beautiful edifying thing that will assist taking us over the finish line. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm done, Elder.
Hallelujah, Elder. Hallelujah. You brought out some good points. I mean, that was great because, you know, you stuck right with the transcript, and that's right there in the Word. That's what we have to do. Once we do that, then, you know, and I think that's one of the big challenges that we are facing now as the Hebrew Israelites, especially here in this country with us. You know, it's so much so Satan knows because, you know, I've been watching us as long as we've been here. And that demon he knows it's that thing you've heard of. Divided. We don't stand. We can't stand unless we, you know. And that's one of the things they do, whatever it is out there, that entity, that evil out there, it seems like it knows exactly how to divide us. Together we stand, you know, but divided we fall. And so that's looked like one of the biggest challenges that we are facing right now. And that's why it was so good that you brought that out. You know, how many people are listening to that particular chapter, those scriptures, you know, and taking heed to them, see? Because, you know, it's just one of those things that we just got to pray about and make sure that we can hold fast to what is right, what is true, you know. And sometimes we, you know, really in this time now, in a lot of cases, we find ourselves out there pretty much alone, you know. But we got to remember what Yahushua says. He said, the Father is with me. He said, that's why Yahushua said, I will be with you always to the end of the ages, you see? So we really are not alone, but as long as we know that we're not alone, as long as we know Yah and Yahushua, and that's why he says, you know, lift him up and he will draw all men unto him, you see? And so that's what we got to do, lift Yahushua up and let him draw the people so that everybody, you know, is on one accord and really being obedient to him, being obedient. So we have to just stress how important it is. And that's what we've been doing, you know, trying to make sure that we bring for Yah's word in a way that you realize that you've got to be obedient no matter what. You see, if you can get that pounded in people's head and if I can keep it in my mind, you know, that's one of the things that I know is the first important. And that is be obedient, hold fast to his word, and follow it. I mean, to the T, to the letter, you know, spiritually follow it. And then we can, you know, naturally find ourselves gravitating to each other, those of us who are on one accord with Yah, his word. Is it? So hallelujah for that. I'll look at Hebrews chapter 12. Just want to read a couple of scriptures out of here. Verse 12 says, so strengthen the hands which hang down and the weak knees, okay, and make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned aside, but instead to be healed. You see? And so that's why we got to be, it's important that we follow, like he said, make straight paths for our feet, and that is following Yah's word. You know, being obedient to his commandments, his laws, you know, his statutes, and pursue peace with all, and pursue a partner with which no one shall see the master. See to it that no one falls short of the favor of Yah, that no root or bitterness springing up causes trouble, by which many become defiled. And see, this is why we have to know, again, be careful about who we fellowship with, too, and who you got to know, because sometimes, I mean, I think we both have experienced right here some things with the people that we were once part of a camp, you know, and just to find out that, you know what I mean, certain activity was going on in the leadership of that camp that wasn't right. It just was wrong, you see. And, you know, if the head is sick, then the whole body find itself, you know, becoming sick. But Yah will, excuse me, will deliver you us from the things that we, you know, see us, that we find ourselves involved in that it's not right. And Satan thinks he's smart enough to keep everybody deceived, but yet he's going to insist on doing his thing that is unrighteous, you know, before Yah. And then Yah has a way of getting his people out of that junk, you know, and continue on leading them. Because like I said, we don't have to be lonely. We just realize that Yah is with us. Even if we are walking alone, he is still with us. You see, I think Yahushua said it. He said, the Father's with me. You know, if my witness, hey, the Father hears what I'm witnessing about. He is with me. He knows. You see, that's why by the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things should be established. You see, so when we take our clues and our hints from Yahushua, then we find ourselves, hey, being happy, rejoicing, even when it may look and appear that we are alone. And then that's when you get this we lifting up Yahushua, we have him, Yahushua himself, drawing people into us. See? And we've experienced that. But then the thing is, we just know that, like Yah says in his word, even in Revelation, I believe, says Satan, the dragon, is at war with the remnant. And so we got to know that we are at war. You never know when somebody might be wounded, you know, maybe trapped by this evil working of Satan. You know, that's why it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the secret of lawlessness is already at work. It's out there working. It's working. The secret of lawlessness. Only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst. And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. You see? So he think he's doing something now, causing us to be scattered, not being able to come together in fellowship and so forth, because he keeps continuing to interfere with us. And, you know, this is kind of like when we were us Hebrew Israelite people, you know, I mean, the enemy, you see, we are in the land of our enemy. The enemy studied us, you see, because I remember when I was a kid, you know, we used to get together on the corners in the country and just have a good time, you know. But the enemy, he would ride by and spy on us, excuse me, and see that we are, to him, it frightening him. It was frightening to him. I mean, we studied this in school, when I was in school. This is what the Gentile did to us right here in this Babylonian system that we're in. He saw that we were, it was strength to us, you know, to them, when they saw us together, just out there on the corner. And that's what happened. Ever since, they've been insisting on breaking us up, not allowing us to get together and fellowship with each other and hang out with each other. You see? And even when we were, I never will forget, when we were in school, anytime a couple of us, two or three of us Hebrews come together, you know, the next thing we know, a Gentile just instantly pops himself up in between us like he's part of the conversation. And he was not. You know, he's just there all of a sudden. Asking dumb, stupid, crazy questions. You know, we experienced that physically, you see. And so that's how Satan's been working against us, and he still is, you see, come popping up in between us when we try to get together and just fellowship, talking, you know, what's so wrong about that? But they were not, they couldn't stand it. They could not to see us, three or four of us get together and just try, having fun, laughing with each other, you know. And so that's happening even out there in the world right now. And it's been happening, you see. And so these are the things that we know. And so we got to be smart know that this is how the enemy works against us, you know, because, again, I said, we are in the land of our enemy. So it ain't no secret, ain't no surprise to see him all of a sudden trying to make sure we are never able to congregate together, you see, and fellowship. I mean, this is what's been going on. And so now that we're waking up, we're being wise to him. So the coming of the lawless, in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. See, this is how Satan works. And we see them doing that same, carrying out that same activity against the Hebrew Israelite people with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood and with all deceit of unrighteousness and those perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. You see? So that's what we got to keep in mind, that this is what's going on around, all around us. Okay? And for this reason, God sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood in order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth and have delighted in the unrighteousness. So hallelujah for his word. And, you know, this is why we as people of Yah got to wake up. Wake up and be wise among these enemies that we are amongst, and be wise to Satan's cunning devices, okay? Because believe me, he is working. But thank Yah, he does not leave us, and the enemy cannot sneak in on us or slip up on us without Yah revealing, making sure that we see what he's up to, what he's trying to do, to give us an opportunity to make the right decisions to overcome that evil, wicked one. So hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Elder, this is
hey,
it for
hey,
me,
Elder,
I believe.
Right quick, what you were saying about when they saw you guys assembling together, the black codes, which were a spinoff from the old slave codes, this was right mm-hmm. after so-called our emancipation back in 1865, it had one of the restrictions. It says, since the colonial period, colonies and states had passed laws that discriminated against free blacks. In the South, these were generally included in slave codes. The goal was to reduce mm-hmm. influence of free blacks, particularly after slave rebellions, because of their potential influence on slaves. Listen to this. Restrictions mm-hmm. included prohibiting them from voting, although North Carolina allowed this before 1831. Okay, here you go. Bearing arms mm-hmm. and look, gathering in groups.
mm-hmm.
See, so they still carry those same codes, like you say. When they see you, you gather together. They see two or more blacks gather together, even at a job. We had jobs, and like you say, a white person. They see you talking. They just come up there and just start saying some crazy stuff. Act like they trying to barge into the conversation. Don't even know what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about. Now, you never just barge
right.
in their conversation like that. You know,
no, that's
so
right.
They still got that DNA in them to know that we're in their minds and in their DNA, we're supposed to still be slaves and we're breaking the law. See, that's what they mm. that's what they we're breaking the law. We don't supposed to be assembling together.
And that's something. Yeah.
That means we're trying to plan a rebellion or something. The fear comes over them.
Mm. That's
see,
man,
see
that's
those terrible. genes are being disturbed in them, and is going back to their ancient, you know, their ancestors, and they, oh my goodness, something bad about to happen. They about to plan a rebellion. Some Nat Turner
mm-hmm.
stuff about to go on. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but that was one of the restrictions, restricted gathering. Let's see, gathering in groups. Hallelujah.
Well, they follow that to the T. I mean, because they do it. They've been doing it. And like I said, all the way through school, and we saw many, we used to complain about it to each other, you know. Why is this person all of a sudden, ain't nobody got nothing, ain't nobody invited them, and all of a sudden you're going to pop up, you know.
Right.
Asking foolish questions like he's supposed to do that. He has the right, you know? And so that
they
kind of stuff there, you know.
Code. They were found in the black coals. Let's see, black coals were laws passed by southern states in 1865 and 1866 in the United States after the American Civil War with intent and effect of restricting African Americans' freedom. See? So they're following the black coals. Hallelujah. I think we covered a lot of ground tonight, Elder.
I think so too, Elder. I tell you, this is good. So we'll just give people, hopefully those who get a chance to hear what we discussed, that they are they're blessed by it, and I'm sure God will be blessed, a blessing to them. And so that's why we do these things, because after all, you know, we are elders and we have experienced things, you know. And we do talk about some of these things that we have actually seen, and these are realities, so that the young brothers, when they out there, they hear what we're talking about, when they see it and start experiencing it, then they can know, hey, this is what they're talking about, man. Look here, you know, see? And they start to wake up, because the people of Yah is not going to be just in darkness throughout the ceaseless ages of time, you know. Yah is waking up some of us. He's waking us up, those of us who are willing to accept him. You know, he's waking us up. So hallelujah to that. All right.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I tell you. Well, all right, Elder. Again, we'll go ahead and close it out, I believe. And there's no further thing else that you might want to bring. And so I'm going to go ahead and close us out. All right. We'll close it out with a set-apart musical tune here by one of our sisters that we both, I bet you probably recognize her when she sees. And here we go. So I'm going to go and say shalom, shalom, shalom. And we should
shalom,
be returning back on the next third night, eve of the third day of the week. Let's see. Yeah. Because, you know, this day that they call Sunday is the first day of the week, Monday is the second, so Tuesday's the third. So that's what we're going to close out with. Yeah. So we will see you all on the third day of next week. Hallelujah. Shalom. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Obedience, obedience.
right, all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
All
okay.
right,
Elder. Shalom, shalom, shalom. All right.
All right. Good night.
Good night, shalom.